So good to have this privilege to be able to give you all a talking to. Your turn will come. You'll get me back. Oh, it's awesome. It's cool to see some different faces in the crowd today. We're missing a lot of faces. People have gone away for Christmas. And so we don't have as big a crowd of kids as we normally do. And it's nice to see some visitors here, and I just want to make special mention of John Schneider. Stephen's dad is here with us today. That's pretty special. And a guest of honor, David McIntyre. He's hiding in the corner. So everybody can make a point of saying hi to him. It's awesome to have you here. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this privilege. I thank you, Lord, for this body of believers, Lord. These are your children, Lord God. And I thank you for your heart for all of them, Lord God. That every adult here is just as beloved to your heart as these children were a moment ago. And we come to you in childlikeness today to listen to what our Father has to say about us. I've had a heart for this church for a long time. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But I was a teenager in this church when it was down in East Trail. Spent my teen years there. And then I was away from town for 20 years. But even before we moved back here, several years before, they were building this new building. And I was visiting my parents, and I just felt the Lord just... I just felt an urgency to go out and pray in the building. And I asked my mom, is Dad going to go work at the church today? I just think I'm supposed to pray. And so I did that. And over there behind Jen, there was bales of insulation and there was just bare studs here. And I just knelt by a bale of insulation there. I had no idea what I was interceding for. But it just moved me deeply in my heart for his heart for this place and what he was going to do in this place. And I just remember my tears hitting the dust on the top of the insulation, making streams down the dust, that the Lord's heart is for this place. And today I'd like to talk about unity, but from a little bit different angle. Usually if you're going to speak about unity, you talk about what it looks like. This is what people look like when they're living in unity. And then you try to encourage people to do that. Find out, you know, what are the behaviors specifically that people exhibit in unity. And we try to act like that. But spiritual unity is not something that we create. We give too much attention to what we see in the natural, and we can see easily where there might be problems, and we try to find our own natural solutions for those things. But today I'd like to just look at a shift in perspective to what it looks like in the spiritual. We are already united in Christ. We are one body in Christ. He is the head of the church, which is his body, and he is the one who has brought us together. And that's my first point today. We are not held together by common interests. We are a spiritual body. It's not like a curling club or a quilting club or a service club where you have common interests and goals and you come together, and when your interests change, you find a different club. It doesn't work that way in the body of Christ. You have been purchased. You have been purchased with his blood. You are his. And you've been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. And we have all received that same Spirit. Now, some might think that we're held together by doctrine. Well, we may be grouped as people who have experienced similar things and have learned different things, and so we like to get together because we share that in common. But that's not why we are one. Even within each church, people have different understandings of some issues, and that's okay. Perfect agreement is not the basis of unity. Perfect agreement is not an expected thing or a necessary thing. It's not the basis of unity. It is love. So how are we united in Christ? If we've surrendered our life to Jesus and he's cleansed us from sin, he makes us a new creation in him. We got that part right, that we are a new creation in Christ. But at the same time he makes us a new creation in him, he also makes us part of his body, the church. We didn't make it happen, just like we didn't make salvation happen. All we did was the acceptance part and the surrender part. Unity is not achieved through toonie lunches and Bible studies and volunteering together. All that's great. It's fellowship. It fosters a sense of the family that is already true in the Spirit. But let's not get it backwards. The natural does not create the spiritual. Just as we don't become a child of God by trying to act like one, or because we know the scriptures that talk about who we are in Christ, we've memorized, I'm a saint, I'm holy, I'm without blame before him, I'm a temple. It's not in the memorization of convincing ourselves. It's already true. It's established in Christ. And that's why we need to renew our minds, because it's a truth that is already true in the spiritual realm. We need to accept who we are in Christ. And we need to accept the truth that we are one in Christ. We're not to judge by what we see or by what we feel. We are united in Christ by his blood and empowered by his Holy Spirit. And collectively, we are that glorious church that Jesus will present to the Father. Sometimes we can look around and we might not look or feel too glorious. In our flesh, we're certainly not. But through the blood of Jesus, through the robes of righteousness, he sees the work of Christ in us. And he's the one that makes us glorious. So it's because we're already united in him that we need to act like it. Why on earth would such a diverse group of people ever want to gather together every Sunday? It's because of him. He's the only reason. He is our prize. He is the one who rescued us from our lost condition. And he's the one that's given us new life and a new family, the family of God. Now you might try to act like you're not my brother. You might try to act like you're not my sister. But that doesn't change a thing. We are stuck with each other for all eternity. You're just going to have to deal with me. And you know something? We don't even know everybody in our family. We don't. There's people across town in other churches. You might not know them. You might think of them perhaps as, well, they're kind of like, in the family of God to me, they're kind of like a second cousin twice removed, you know. I've never met them. But that doesn't exist in Christ. We all have the same Father, and we are all brothers and sisters. It's immediate family. So there's a couple of things I wanted to incorporate into the message today, things that the Lord has spoken to my heart over the years. Prophetic kind of impressions. I've chosen three of them to illustrate 3 points in this sermon. This first point was, we are one in Christ. And this one thing, it happened in the fall of 2017. I asked the Lord a direct question. I asked the Lord, how do you see our church? And immediately I saw a side view of the crust of the earth. And on the top of the surface of the soil, I saw silhouettes of people in our church. Not recognizable, they're just silhouettes. They're people, but I knew that they were this body. And they were just wandering around doing different things. It was sort of random movement. There was nothing bad about it. It was just kind of random. People were walking in different directions. And then I noticed every time they prayed, even if they didn't pray together, different groups would pray separately. Every time they prayed, their prayers were feeding underground streams. And what I noticed about the streams were all going in the same direction. Every time we get on our knees and we allow the Holy Spirit to help us in our prayers, our prayers are feeding underground streams and we are all going in the same direction. So what you see in the natural, don't be deceived by what you see in your eyes. You see this person's interested in this and these people have other priorities and these people have a clique. Don't be disturbed by that, because we are a spiritual family, and when we pray in the Spirit, the Lord is taking us in the same direction. And there was about three streams. It was hard to tell because there were that way. There was a few streams. At some point, they came together. And when those streams came together, they formed a river that burst out of the ground. And then you could see, everybody could see what God had been doing in the unseen up until that time. That once we all came together and our prayers came together in unity, and we realized that it's not about the random movement. What's important is how we pray and submit to God and want to follow His ways. In that unity, the streams came together as a river and they burst out of the ground and everyone could see the river of God. When we allow Holy Spirit to lead us in our prayers, He's taken us in the same direction. In Romans chapter 8, scripture reads, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." When we submit to His lead, He's taking us in the same direction. Our prayers are powerful. I don't know if anybody here's heard of something called the Strength Finder. It's used a lot in corporate world where they're trying to identify people's strengths, and people are more productive when they actually use their strengths. But our strength is in the Spirit. We have to remember where we are strong. We are strong in the Spirit and in the power of His might, says in Ephesians. My second point is that together we welcome the presence of God. And the second point is, I've got another prophetic time I had with the Lord in prayer in the sanctuary that introduces this point. It was also in 2017. I was just praying over here on a front seat. The sanctuary was empty on a Wednesday morning. And I had just been spending time with the Lord. I had worship music on, and I was just available if the Lord wanted to share anything with me. But it seemed like I'd been there a long time, and it was feeling like it was time to go. I didn't hear anything. And I was just about to leave, and I felt, no, I can't. I think I'm supposed to stay just a little longer. And right away, this verse came to me, and parts of it stood out as being especially important. It was Isaiah 40, verse 4. "A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. And the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, it wasn't that whole scripture that jumped out at me. It was prepare the way of the Lord, and every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain brought low. And what it, the impression it gave me in my heart is that when our mountains of pride come down, and when our valleys of low self-worth are brought up, then we will see a highway for the Lord to be welcomed in and for his glory to rest. Now, I thought in my heart, well, that's maybe a bit of a stretch to go from that scripture to that specific impression. And so when I went home, I looked it up in several commentaries, and I discovered, actually, that's a common interpretation. There's no way Isaiah is talking about real mountains and real valleys. He is talking about preparing of the heart. And this is, you probably know that this scripture also prophesies about the coming of John the Baptist. And his role was to prepare people's hearts for the coming of Jesus' ministry. And so what occurred to me was our second point of together we welcome the presence of God. We welcome that by actually living out and accepting who we are in Christ. That when you are secure in who he's made you to be, there is no pride. There's not a sort of insecurity that makes you think that you have to be better than everyone or that people need to look at you for any reason. And there is no reason when you are secure in Christ and you know who you are in Christ, there is no reason for feeling down like, oh, nobody's going to pay attention to me. Oh, nobody's asked me to do anything. I'm not one of those people that can really contribute. There's no place for that. When you have been purchased with a price and he has made you a new creation, you are secure in him. You are empowered by him. So Jesus has leveled the playing field, if you will, because everything that we have to boast about is because of his grace. He is the only one to be lifted up. The Apostle Paul, he ministered in power and authority. He was a missionary. He suffered for the gospel. He put himself at crazy risk, knowing full well he was going to be bound and chained. But his only boast was about Christ. That's all he had to boast about. You might want to look up Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have preeminence. So I just want to draw your attention to, as was said before, the small words. And Jesus is the head of the body of the church, that in all things he might have preeminence. And so he is the head of us, and in all that we do, we want to give him preeminence. And there's a cool thing about knowing who you are in Christ. It makes you secure but not proud. And we know who you are in Christ, you don't put yourself down either. You just accept what is true about you. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. The key is God's truth has to rule. And when we are secure in Christ, it's amazing how we are not so easily offended. And that we feel free to be our true selves. And in that environment, it's so much easier to deal with differences. When you know, as the song said this morning about how God loves us so much, he's a good, good father, he loves us so much. When you are filled up to the top with the love of God, it doesn't matter if Julie is mad at me today. She's going to get over it. It's, you know, you can let other people's criticisms or perceived criticisms fade into the background. You can deal with that from a position of strength because you know you are secure and you are loved by God. And it helps us give us strength to sort out the differences that are definitely going to come. Sometimes we have a hard time accepting our identity in Christ. I know a lot of people say, well, I know all those things are true, but I just have a hard time believing it. I just feel so down. It all sounds too good. And the thing is, we all know we're not that good, but Christ has made us. It's because of Him and His goodness and what He's done. We're not saved just because we think we're saved. We're not free just because we feel free, and we're not righteous because we look like we are. We embrace all of those things by faith because they are true. And we do the same thing with who we are in Christ. We are to walk in the Spirit. You know, you can't do that. And we're not supposed to be recognizing one another according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. And I just felt like mentioning the Tower of Babel. I know it's not perhaps the best example because these people building the Tower of Babel were doing something that God did not want them to do. But there's an interesting thing about it. They all had the same goal in mind. They all wanted to build this tower. And then when their languages were changed, they weren't speaking the same language anymore. They still had the same goal, but it all fell apart because they were saying it differently. And sometimes I see that we as a church in general, we have kind of similar goals that we want to follow that are, you know, scriptural things about us as individuals growing in Christ, and also our call as a church and outreach and various things. We have a general idea of the way we're supposed to go, but I hear people just saying it differently. And they're basically saying the same thing, but they're saying it differently. And beware when you hear people saying something differently. Don't jump to the conclusion they totally want to go a different way, because the enemy would like for us to misunderstand one another. He would like to create the perception that there's an appearance of separation. But you know, sometimes there are real differences, real reasons for offenses too. We can all do stupid things. Yes, we can. But for that, there's an easy thing called forgiveness. I say easy because it's simple. We need to forgive others as Christ forgave us. And it was when the people were all in one accord that the Holy Spirit fell. So as we know who we are in Christ, we will be more in one accord, and we will create a place where the glory of the Lord is welcome to rest. Thirdly, together we reveal Christ. Early this summer, we had an Abide prayer meeting out in the foyer. Abide is just sort of a quiet get-together where we listen to the Lord and we spend time in prayer together with soft music playing. And Lori had asked us to specifically ask God about our purpose and identity. And then we're just sitting listening to the Lord, and almost right away I saw a picture of a kindergarten class, and we were the kindergarten kids because we were like children in a childlike way trying to listen to the Lord and kind of finding our way, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but we were having hearts open to the Lord and if He wanted to share anything with us. So anyway, I saw a scene of his kindergarten class. And the kindergarten kids were all lining up to show the teacher, which was God, what they had put on their papers. They all had some painting or something, and they wanted to show him, and it was basically just a couple scribbles. But he was just lavishing praise upon them that they were trying. And he was so happy with everything they had done, whether it was much to look at or not. And so one after the other, they were coming up to him and showing them what they'd been doing. And then the scene changed a little, and I just saw the kids standing at a table working on various things. They weren't all coloring, but they were doing various things in the classroom. And I noticed that these kids that were standing working by the table, that they all had what looked like a placard on their back, that they didn't even know it was there. It was just sort of attached to their shoulder like a piece of cardboard. And I thought, that's strange. And then the teacher, not the Lord, there's a female teacher in the class, said, okay, children, it's time for everybody to come together in prayer. And they were so happy to come together. And they left everything that they were doing, and they came together, and they huddled together. And just as the kids were huddling together here to pray, but they were down on their knees and their elbows and with their face to the ground. And they just randomly all fit together, no organization, but they were all touching each other. And as they did that, those placards were showing on their back. They were all face up. And I realized that's making a mosaic of something. And I said to the Lord, what is that? And as I asked, I could see it was the face of Jesus that had formed a mosaic as they came together. And it says so many things that our purpose and identity is found in the context of our community, is one thing. That we reveal Christ when we're together. And that we reveal a different aspect of the face of Christ. That if somebody was missing, there would be a revelation of their understanding of the Lord that would be missing in that community. That we've all learned different things through our experience of walking with the Lord. That we have different things to reveal. So together, we reveal Christ. And it was interesting, too, that Julie was talking today in the prayer room about I want to know specifically what you're called to do, like a purpose. And these children, they weren't really aware of what they were carrying on their back. Sometimes we don't know what it is, exactly what our purpose is, exactly what we're called to do, but we do what we do. We just find ourselves in all situations, but because of Christ in us, it comes through in all the different activities that we do. And these kids were unaware of what they carried, but when they came together and prayed, and they focused on the Lord, they all revealed an aspect of Christ. He is the one that makes us fit together. Our diversity serves a purpose in the context of community. Ephesians 4:15 and 16 says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does his own special work, it helps the other parts to grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." I'm talking too much. I'm getting dry. Western society has a tendency to emphasize the individual over the community. But the biblical image of the church is a body. All parts are interdependent and necessary for the body's health. We are all different. Some are a little more different than others. But we all, there's one right there. But we all reveal an aspect of Christ. And you reveal an aspect of Christ that I don't. And sometimes when we're gifted in one area, we have a passion for a certain part of ministry, We think everybody else should have the same focus that we do. But they see it through a different lens, through their own gifting, through the own special way the Lord has made them. It's actually good that they have a different focus. So instead of pointing to the lack of others because they don't seem to get how you see things, they don't seem to want to do what you're doing. Instead of pointing to the lack in others for not being like you, you should use your own giftings like a millionaire trying to go broke. Just be who you are and just give what the Lord has given you. And live it out with passion and reveal the aspect of Christ that you are called to. Just bring it. And you may inspire others who are gifted similarly but have been holding back. Just do it. We are family. And sometimes we get to do what we're really gifted at. In other times, we simply just do what needs to get done. In a real family, you might be the CEO of a company, or you might be a brain surgeon, but at home, you still don't get out of doing the chores. You pitch in and you do whatever needs to be done. And it's kind of like that too. We want to see people emerge in what they're specially gifted at and blossom in that and use their giftings. And sometimes the pastor ends up mopping the floor and the worship leader's doing the dishes. That's how family pitches in and works. And when we submit to the Lord, we just naturally find our place in Him. When we submit to the Lord, we find our place in Him, each bearing His own weight and encouraging one another. Ephesians 5:21 says, we are to submit to one another out of our reverence for Christ. So we don't submit to one another just because, well, we should. No, we submit to one another because of Him. It's out of reverence to Christ that we treat His children with respect. Another thing Julie mentioned in the prayer room today is about fellowship. That we don't necessarily have true fellowship because we have lunch together or we go to the same Bible study. That is helpful. But we have true fellowship when we recognize who Christ has made each person to be. If I recognize Christ in you, we have fellowship. If I recognize that God has gifted you a certain way, and I can praise the Lord for that, we have fellowship. We have a personal connection only because of Him, because of who we are in Christ. In closing, we are one in the Spirit, as I said. Second point, together we welcome the presence of God. And thirdly, together we reveal Christ. The question is, are we going to submit to the head of the body, which is Christ? Because He is the one who pulls us together, and He is the one who will lead us in the same direction. And He is the one who's called you to uniquely put Him on display, to be part of that mosaic. And it's all done because of Him, for Him, in submission to Him. He is the one we would want to put on display. Another little thing I wanted to share was Pentecost Sunday 2016. The Lord, for the first time, gave me tongues and interpretation, which was kind of cool that it was on Pentecost Sunday. And the shortened version of it was, the real nugget, was the scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. I'll read it again. The eyes of the Lord range through the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully devoted to him. And what I felt he was saying at that time is, I have found that in you as this body of believers. I have found that in you, the Lord says. Yes, I see your challenges too, but I pay them no heed. For I know as you keep your eyes on me, they will fall away. Yes, we are a group that is devoted to him. There's something special about this place. I know it. God has been drawing us closer and in a deeper walk with him. And we can be a mess at times. We're not perfect, but God sees our hearts. And our job is to keep our eyes on him until we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. And then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. When we love God with our whole being, we will love his body too. Selah. Yes, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We just pray be a blessing and an encouragement, Lord, to your children. We thank you, Lord, for where you're taking us, Lord, how far we have come, Lord, how you have held us, how you have encouraged us along the way. And by faith, we walk into whatever you want us to do. In Jesus' name.